Let us begin with a discussion about Al HaNisim. As we know, we are already within 2 weeks of Hanukkah, and it's time for us to start thinking about Hanukkah. And one of the most prominent ways in which we highlight the holiday is by reciting Al HaNisim in our davening every day on Hanukkah. So first of all, Reb Nevenzahl, the great Talmud, the great student of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, writes in one of his Svarim an observation that he was once told by his great teacher, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he says that if you look at the closing phrase, if you look at the concluding sentence in Al HaNisim for Hanukkah versus Al HaNisim for Purim, you will notice that there is something very different about the way that both of them end. And basically he says, usually the finishing sentence is the thrust, it's the upshot of everything that we're trying to highlight. So he says we have to look carefully at what is the bottom line of Purim Al HaNisim, what is the bottom line of Hanukkah Al HaNisim. So he says, you look at Hanukkah Al HaNisim, we have a beautiful tefillah, and in the end, the last line is, V'kavu shmonas ime Hanukkah elu lahodosu lahalel l'shimcha agadol. That's the bottom line. We had a great miracle, but the bottom line that we want to highlight is that we now instituted a day of celebration, a whole week of celebration, in order to commemorate this great miracle. Lahodosu lahalel l'shimcha agadol. Beautiful. Now you look at the story of Purim, you come to the last line of the Al HaNisim that we say on Purim, and you'll notice that it's very different. There was a great victory that took place, and all a turn of events, and everything was amazing. And Achashverosh and Haman v'salu osoves banav al ha'etz. That's what we highlight in the days of commemoration for Purim. Now, as from Nevenzahl, it should be the same conclusion for both of them. We have instituted a day of celebration on Purim the same way we have instituted a day of celebration on Hanukkah, because there was a great victory, a great miracle, and therefore the end, concluding line, should be the same in both. It should be that after the Hanukkah miracle, we have instituted a week of celebration. After the Purim miracle, we have instituted a day of great celebration. Either that, or we should have the opposite. After the Purim miracle, v'salu osoves banav al ha'etz, they hung Haman and all of his children, and we overcame all of our enemies. And on Hanukkah, the same thing happened. We had a great military victory. Chashmonai ubanav came and destroyed all of their enemies. So the end of the paragraph on Hanukkah should be the same as it is on Purim, or the end of Purim should be the same as Hanukkah. Why are they different? Explains Reb Nevenzahl so beautifully. Look at the first entry. This is his Lashon, what he writes in the name of his great Rebbe. And he says, in each instance, by Hanukkah as well as by Purim, we want to highlight, we want to feature, and we want to focus on what it is that was most special about the salvation, about the Yeshua for that holiday. Now, how do you know what that is? Says Reb Nevenzahl, to bechal makom, in each case, marim echefer Hashem atzas harishayim. We want to highlight how Hashem torpedoed the plan of our enemies. What was the plan of the enemies in the days of Purim? Bepurim ratzah Haman litlos Mordechai. The ultimate was that Haman wanted to destroy Mordechai and hang him on a tree. So the punchline that we give about the great salvation and how God neutralized all of their efforts is, we say, in the place of Mordechai being hung on the tree, v'salu osovias banav al ha'etz. That's the way that we highlight how much Hashem negated what it is that happened in the days of Haman, what he wanted to do, and what ultimately happened. On the other hand, he says, b'chanukah, on Hanukkah, our war was not a physical one. It was a little bit, but he says a lot of the focus was a spiritual battle. And that was that they didn't want us to keep Shabbos, and they didn't want us to do many of the mitzvahs HaTorah, no Bris Milah, no Shabbos, no Rosh Chodesh, no holidays, and therefore he says it was Lahashkicham Torah Secha. They wanted us to reject and to abandon our observance of Torah and mitzvahs, and therefore the way that we show how we have neutralized their efforts is Shalo Rak Shalo Haviranu Me'atorah. Not only were they unsuccessful in taking us away from our Torah that we hold so dear, but also Nikva Yamtiv Chadash, the way that we respond is that we have doubled our efforts, that we have intensified our relationship with God. Nikva Yamtiv Chadash, we now have a new day of celebration to connect with God. Behilchos Chadash Shabbatar v'Shulchan Aruch. Now we have Simanim and Shulchan Aruch and Shiurim that we give about Hanukkah and how to light and what are we going to do. And we all spend money to figure out how to celebrate Hanukkah. And that is our way of showing that we have neutralized the efforts of Lahashgicham Torah Secha. You know what we do when somebody wants to threaten our relationship with Torah? We amplify our relationship with Torah. We add more mitzvahs, we add more tefillah, we add more opportunity to connect with God and to show how dear the Torah is to us. And therefore, says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, this is why on Hanukkah, whereas on Purim, we have two very different responses, because the bottom line is very different. On Purim, when there was a physical threat to our nation, and all they wanted was to destroy Mordechai and hang him on the tree, the bottom line, what we want to celebrate is, in the end, everything turned around, and Haman is the one who was hung with his family on the tree. Whereas by Hanukkah, we highlight the fact, Lahashkicham Torasecha, they wanted us to abandon and reject our Torah, and we respond by saying, we will add to the Torah. And it's not enough that we have all the mitzvahs that were applicable until then. We now add a whole slew of halachos that are relevant to this time of year that we otherwise would never have had, and that is our way of showing that we have developed an even more powerful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a powerful insight, and I think there's a lot of truth to it. It's a beautiful insight. Problem, yes?
I think the essence is to kill all the Jews. It was not about just hanging up a Mordechai.
Okay.
The thing that maybe had to be adjusted a little bit is saying that maybe it's about something.
Okay. But the same basic point. The same basic point. It was a war of killing, and in the end, we killed Haman Ubanav. In Al Anisim, we make mention of many different aspects of our gratitude. And we say, Al Anisim, Al Aniflos, all the wonderful things that happen. And one very strange aspect that is mentioned is when we say, Ve'al HaMilchamos, when we talk about the war. And this is something that has bothered many, many commentaries. Numerous suggestions have been given. Numerous suggestions have been given. Why would we highlight, why would we celebrate the war? We are not a people that celebrates bloodshed, that celebrates hostility. We are not a people that celebrates our combat units that go out to war. So why do we thank Hashem, Al Anisim, Ve'al Aniflos, all the wonderful things, Ve'al HaMelchamos, thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to fight. Why are we celebrating that? That is not something to be proud of. That is something that unfortunately happened in the days of the Hashmonaim, but it's not something that we should be excited about. And how do you understand that? Rav Soloveitchik has a whole interpretation. Many others suggest whatever it is that they say, but the Panavizhe Rav, Reb Yosef Shlomo Kahaneman, was the Panavizhe Rav, and he once suggested the following beautiful insight. And he said that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles which we are still living with today. Ve'al HaNifla'os, that we are still experiencing today. Because of what happened then, we're still experiencing those incredible miracles. And the fact that we have a Jewish people that is flourishing and thriving the way it is a great miracle. And all of that because of what happened in the story of Hanukkah. But the milchama, said Rav Kahaneman, is not something that we should ignore either. We don't celebrate the fact that we had an opportunity to be victorious. We do not celebrate the fact that we defeated them, because he says this is an ongoing, continuous and developing war that has never ended. And therefore we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the strength, the determination, for giving us the bravery, for giving us the stamina and the perseverance to continue to fight the holy war of the Jewish people. Al HaMilchamos is not talking about what happened thousands of years ago. When we thank God for the Milchamos, we thank Him for all the miracles in our lives, Al HaNisim ve'al HaNiflos, that we continue to experience. Ve'al HaMilchamos is the ongoing fight that the Jewish people continue to struggle with. And that is that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making us a courageous people, for making us a people that have perseverance, that have patience, that are willing to stick along for the ride. And as we show that we are willing to fight for it, it means it's something that is important to us. It means that it's something valuable to us, and there is what to fight for. And there's no greater parsha to discuss this than this week's parsha, Parshas Vayishlach. When we talk about Yaakov Avinu, who had this terrible encounter with the Sarash al Esav, with the guardian angel of Esav, and there the Torah says that in the midst of this ferocious battle that took place, there was a very unusual exchange that happened between these two rivals. We know that the Sarash al Esav wanted to kill Yaakov, he wanted to destroy him, and ultimately it didn't happen. And suddenly in the middle of this engagement, Yaakov turns to him and he says, Hagida na shemecha. Please identify who you are. Tell me what your name is. To which the angel responds, Lama zeh tishal ishmi. Why do you ask my name? Rav Soloveitchik comments in the beautiful Chumash that has been printed in English. You can find it there. He says that you'll notice the angel's response was not, I do not need to tell you my name. His response was not, I am not allowed to tell you my name. And nor was his response, I do not have a name. All he said is, Lama zeh tishal lishmi. Why do you ask my name? I cannot expose my identity to you. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the reason for that is because this story of the Sarah Shalesov, of this anonymous attacker that we don't really know a lot about, in many ways represents the most difficult challenge of Jewish history and Jewish destiny, and that is that the Jew never really knows where the next battle will be. There is no way to clearly identify where the Jewish struggle is going to be next. So in some generations it's going to be the Greeks or the Romans or Hitler or Stalin, or it's going to be the Germans or communism, socialism, Nazism, anti-Semitism. Every generation it's something else. And you watch how the Jewish people never know. We never would have expected in Germany that what happened would actually unfold. Who would have thought of such a thing? We were contributing members of society, and yet everything turned on its head. And look how Nazism came to power, and look how communism, the Jews in Russia were also very involved in culture and civilization and everything that was going on, and they were helpful members of society, and yet everything turned on them. Communism and socialism. And in every generation, it's something else. And the global challenges of immorality and enlightenment or social discrimination. And we see how this happens time and again. And the Jews never really know how to identify who their next enemy is going to be. And therefore, the Sarah Shalesov have said, this is the never-ending struggle of the Jewish people. Lama zeh tishal shmi, why do you want me to identify myself? I will never be able to identify myself because in every generation I will come in a different form. And Yaakov Avinu asks, explain me your essence. Tell me how I should prepare. It's easier to prepare when I know who the enemy is. Allow me to understand who I'm fighting against so I can properly strategize, so I can prepare myself in order to be victorious. And the answer is, it is impossible to do that, because the heart and soul of the Jewish people is such that they never really know where their next struggle is going to be. When we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu al HaMilchamos, we thank Him not because of the battle that took place, Bimei Chashmonayu Banav, that's a way, way distant memory that happened a very long time ago. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the strength and the fortitude and the determination and the courage to continue to fight the holy fight of the Jewish people. And that is a fight that continues to go on in every generation, and always will. And that's what the Sarah Shalesov have taught us. In fact, the Gemara Maseches Chulin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, has a fascinating dispute about what image did this Sarah Shalesov appear to Yaakov Avinu in. What did he look like? Which is a strange discussion to have. What's the difference what he looked like? What was he wearing? Who cares what he was wearing? But the Gemara there has a discussion. Did he come in the form of an idol worshiper and he went up against Yaakov Avinu? Or did he come in the guise of a great Torah scholar, of a great Talmud Chacham? That's what the Gemara asks. What was the image that Yaakov Avinu had of this Sarah Shalesov that he encountered? And perhaps some suggest that that also reflects two different positions of the Jewish struggle for our own identity, and that is, sometimes we have a struggle with somebody who looks very clearly like our enemy. Sometimes our struggle is such where we know they look like an idol worshiper. They are standing against all of our values, and we know that we cannot give in. We know that there is nothing that we can bend to be a part of whatever it is that we are struggling with. You come as an outsider and you challenge the basic premise of our belief. Of course, we have a right to survive, we have a right to exist, and we have a right to fight back. But sometimes the battle is not as clear. And the Gemara there says in Maseches Chulin, sometimes the Sarah Shalesov will appear as a great Torah scholar. And we've had that in every generation too. That somebody will come looking like a great Torah scholar, like they're very knowledgeable, and they attempt to destroy from within. And in today's generation, it's so much easier because we have such a plethora of knowledge. And it's not so hard to be a Talmud Chacham anymore. We have so many venues, we have so many ways that a person can educate themselves and can sound educated and can sound like they know what they're saying. How often have you read an article by somebody who really is not professing the ideas of what our Masorah stands for, and yet they sound very logical and they sound very reasonable? And what is the answer? Why is it that we don't accept it? And the answer is because sometimes you have the Sarah Shalesov. You have our struggle is in the guise of a great Torah scholar. And do not be fooled by that. Sometimes that is even more difficult to discern than the most obvious enemy. The Gemara tells us outright, these are the two perspectives that sometimes the Jewish people need to face as they go through the struggle of Yaakov versus the Sarah Shalesov. That is a very important Gemara to talk about, but that is all included in what we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for al Hamel Chamos, that we have endured, that we continue to fight, that we continue to be determined, and we will not give in, because what we stand for is valuable, and it's worth fighting for. And therefore we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing us to be a fearless nation who stands for its principles and who continues to fight in every generation for what we hold to be the truth of life and the great values that life is supposed to be all about. Let's go back to the original source. We have a Gemara Maseches Shabbos where there's a discussion about Hanukkah. Why is it in Maseches Shabbos? Good question. The answer is because in the second parak of Maseches Shabbos, parak Bame Malikin, we say it on Friday night, there the Mishnah talks about what are we able to use when we light Shabbos candles every week. And while the Gemara is going into that discussion of what is acceptable for Shabbos candles, the Gemara says, well, let's contrast that to Hanukkah candles. Are they the same items that should be used for both? Are they perhaps different? And that's where the Gemara gets into the whole story of Hanukkah and the way that we are introduced. The preliminary question that the Gemara asks there is, my Hanukkah. That's the way the whole Gemara starts. My Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? Now you'll ask yourself, everybody knows what Hanukkah is. What kind of question is that? You think they didn't know what Hanukkah was? So what is the Gemara asking? My Hanukkah. Rashi says, don't be fooled. It doesn't mean my Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? We all know Hanukkah is the time when we get together and we light candles, and it's the time when we give presents, and it's the time when we eat latkes and donuts and all the wonderful things that Hanukkah represents for us. That is Hanukkah, but that's not the Gemara's question. Because that question we all could have answered. Asks the Gemara, my Hanukkah, suggests Rashi, al eze neis kavua. What is the essence of Hanukkah? Why was Hanukkah instituted? There are two options that one could have chosen. What are the two options? The great miracles that happen on Hanukkah. There were two of them. Let's not forget. Number one, as we say in the Gemara there, I'll just read you what the Gemara says. We're all familiar, but let's just make sure we know what the Gemara tells us. I forgot to put it on here, but we're told the following story. Kishenichnasu Yevanim Lahechel. There was an ongoing struggle between the Yevanim, between the Greeks, and the Jewish community at the time. Finally, they infiltrated the Beis HaMikdash. They went inside. Timu kol hashmanim shebahechel. They defiled all of the oil that could be found in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. Ukishagavra malchus beis chashmonai v'natzchum. When we finally gathered enough strength to fight up against them, and the children of chashmonai, right, as we say, chashmonai ubana, when that whole family stood up against the oppressor and finally had the upper hand once again, badku, they went back into the Beis HaMikdash after it was in disrepair. V'lo matzu el apach echad shel shemen. And the Gemara says they only found one jug of oil. Shehaya munach b'chosamo shel kohen gadol. There was only one jug of oil that was still left behind, that was not tampered with, that was not destroyed. V'lo hayabo el lahadik yom echad. As we know, science tells us that you can only light whatever oil is inside. So they only had enough to light for one day. Nasu bones, and as we know, a great miracle happened. V'hidliku mimenu shmona yamim. Somehow, miraculously, this little jug of oil that they found, which was the only pure jug that there was around and available in the Beis HaMikdash, that was brought to the menorah. They filled it up, and somehow it lit for 8 days. Now, a very curious statement that the Gemara says, which is not the focus of our shiur today, but something to think about on your own. The Gemara says, the Shana Acheres. The next year, after this happened, not right away, the next year, Kavum Va'asum Yamim Tovim Bahala Vahoda. They introduced and they established a great week of celebration in which we should be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a strange thing to do. Why do you wait a year? So I know somebody that just finished a few rounds of chemotherapy and they feel that they are in a state in which they are healthy and they're itching to make a Sudos Hoda because they're so excited about the perspective that they have now that all of this illness is hopefully behind me and now I'm ready to celebrate. Now, are you going to make a celebration every year on the day that you were diagnosed, on the day that you finished the treatments? Maybe. But immediately there needs to be a response. You can't wait a year until you start thinking about thanking God and being grateful for all the wonderful things you have in your life. So why did they wait a whole year to then highlight everything that seemed to be so obvious? So that's a strange point that the Gemara does not explain, but you have to give it some thought. Why is it that you wait a year? Why don't you do it right away? Question. Not the focus of our shir, but basically what the Gemara says is that was one of the great miracles that happened in the days of Hanukkah, that there was one jug of oil that clearly, miraculously lasted for 8 days. Then the Gemara, as we know, tells us that there was something else that happened, and that is the story of this incredible war. Now, we read it in our davening when we say Al HaNisim. Do you ever realize how ridiculous this is? that war, as crazy as you think the Six-Day War may have been, that war made absolutely no sense. You have Chashmonayu Banav. Can you imagine the scene? Who were the Chashmonayim? Kohanim. What was the job of Kohanim? They weren't bodybuilders. They were not the people going out to learn how to fight wars. They spent their whole day in the Beis Hamikdash. This is what they did. Offering karbanos. I would imagine, I don't know what kind of image you have in your head of Chashmonayu Banav, probably wonderful Jews. Not the biggest suspects that I would assume would be the warriors of the Jewish people. And this crazy family, Chashmonayu Banav, realized that there's this mighty army, the Yevanim, are coming out to destroy the Jewish people, and they stand up against them to defend the Jewish people. Are you crazy? It was insanity. So when we say Rabim Bi'ad Me'atim, understand what it means. Rabim Bi'ad Me'atim doesn't mean, you know, there were millions of people in this army and a few less million in the other army. No. It was an army of millions of people versus an army of nobody. An army of nobodies who had no warfare. You ever read about the wars in the early days of the State of Israel, the Haganah, and how they fought, how they made these makeshift weapons that were made out of like sticks and nothingness, and somehow they went out to fight. That's what this was, a makeshift war out of nowhere. And the Yevanim like were shocked. Who do these people think they are? They're crazy. They're going to fight against us, and somehow they were miraculous. Somehow they were victorious. So we say in our davening, Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonayu Banav. It happened in the days of Matisyo that he had a number of children, Chashmonayu Banav, and at the time, Kishamda Malchus Yavan Harashal Amcha Yisrael, at the time there was a very evil decree against the Jewish people, Lahashkicham Torasecho Lahavi Rame Chukei Ritzonecha, they were trying to make us forget about the laws of the Torah. Va'atabar Achamecha Rabim, and you, God, in your very kind mercy, made sure that you would make the Jewish army, that really was not an army at all, but you made them victorious. Raftas, Rivam, Dantas, Dinam, you're the one who fought the war for them. Obviously, because we couldn't fight the war on our own. It was clear that it was God. Nakamtas, Nikmasam, Masarta, Giborim, Biad, Chalashim. When you say the strong, the mighty in the hands of those who are weak, it's not even a way to say it. It was the strong in the hands of nobody. It didn't match up at all. Giborim biyad chalashim, rabim biyad miyatim, tmeim biyad tahorim, rishon biyad tzadikim, and therefore v'kavu shmadis imei Chanukah elu, therefore we celebrate on Chanukah. So the Gemara's question of my Chanukah is, why do we commemorate Chanukah? Is it because of the great miracle of the Pach Shemen and the Beis Hamikdash? Or is it because of the great miracle that we had in the victory in battle? That is the Gemara's question, my Chanukah. The Gemara does not want to know how many latkes should I eat and how many donuts should I have and how many presents should I give out. That is not the question. We can all figure that out on our own. The Gemara's question is a fundamental question. When I celebrate Chanukah, what am I celebrating? What is the focus? What is the objective? Is it to remind myself of the Pach Shemen? Is it to remind myself of the great miraculous victory in battle? And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that the reason why we commemorate Chanukah is because all those in favor of Pach Shemen, raise your hands. Okay, so most of the people are wrong. Pach Shemen is the reason why we celebrate Chanukah. Because there was a great miracle when the Shemen was able to burn for 8 days, and that is why we light candles every day. And therefore the Gemara said that's really what this is all about. Okay, we're going to ask 4 questions. Or maybe 3. We'll see. I know, Manashtana, you're right. So let's ask a few questions to try to understand this. Number one, why is it that Chanukah really is focused on Pach Shemen? Why was that a greater miracle than what happened with the war? That is the Gemara's basic question. The Gemara very simply gives the answer, but doesn't explain why. That's question number one. Number two, when we talk about the great miracle in Al HaNisim, we basically don't even speak about the Pach Shemen at all. I just read it to you. What do we say? Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, in the days of Matisyo, there was a great army by the name of the Yevanim, and they fought against the Jewish people, and it was Rabim Biyad Miyatim, Tmei Biyad Tahorim, Rishon Biyad Tzadikim, and can you believe it? Somehow we overcame them, and somehow we were victorious, and somehow we were able to fight against the mightiest army in the world, and we won! Great! Thank you very much. And you, with your great mercy, made sure that we were able to be successful. And the last line is, Hidliku neres b'chatzos kodshecha. By the way, we also lit candles in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we celebrate. If you just told me that the focus of our holiday is on the Pach Shemen, why don't we have a whole paragraph describing what happened there? And say how they were rummaging around the Beis HaMikdash looking for some oil, and nobody was able to find anything because everything was defiled, and the Yavanim broke into the Beis HaMikdash. It was a terrible time, we didn't know what to do. And finally, we found this one jug of oil, and we were able to light it, and it burned not just for one day, but for 8 days. Why is that not what's spoken about in Al HaNisim? If, after all, that is the essence of the holiday, why do we ignore it? And we throw it in backhandedly right before the end of the paragraph. By the way, v'hidliku neres b'chatzos kodshecha. Yeah, we also lit candles. Yeah, but that's not the thrust of everything you just said. Question number two. Question number three, we have a very famous piyut that we say on Hanukkah, or we sing, Ma'os Tzur Yeshua Si. Happens to be, there's so much rich meaning behind Ma'os Tzur. I would venture to say most people probably have no idea what it means, myself included. But when you look, many of the Art Scroll Siddurim now have commentaries on the bottom, or many Hebrew Siddurim have some commentary that they explain what each of the references is about. And it really goes through a rich history of the Jewish people, where we thank God for each generation and each struggle that we had, and it's really a beautiful piyut. But there in the middle, when we highlight Hanukkah, and we say that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this miracle that we celebrate on Hanukkah, we say, B'nei Bina Yemei Shmona Kavu Shir Urananim. That is a reference to Hanukkah. Let's try to translate those words. B'nei Bina. What does that mean? What are you saying? It means the Kohanim? The Kohanim taught knowledge. So you think it refers to the Kohanim. Any other choices? What does that mean? B'nei Bina means? What? The Chachamim, correct. What it refers to is not so much the Kohanim. Obviously the Kohanim were the ones, Sifsei Kohen Yishmu Rudas, the Navi says. The Kohanim's job was to teach Torah to the Jewish people. They were very intelligent. But, that is not what we refer to here. B'nei Bina refers to the Chachamim. The Chachamim who were B'nei Bina, who were understanding people with deep wisdom, they decided after they internalized everything that happened, they said, you know, B'nei Bina Yemei Shmona Kavu Shir Unanim. It would make sense that we should have a commemoration of 8 days because of what happened in this great time of Hanukkah. And that was a tremendously insightful comment of the Chachamim. B'nei Bina, it took a lot of wisdom. Now I ask you, if I was alive at the time, I don't think it would take so much wisdom to figure out that we should do something. It's quite obvious. And I would imagine that the reaction, the response of most of us would be that it makes a lot of logical sense that after we went through a great time in history like that, where we were so down and we thought the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed, and we thought that the Jewish people were over, and suddenly there's this unbelievable, miraculous upheaval where everything comes back to where it was, I would say, anybody would say that that's what we should do. Everybody would respond in the same way. So why does it take such tremendous wisdom and insight? B'nei Bina! The great Talmid HaChachamim, who were so insightful and in so much wisdom, they're the ones who told us, yes, Kavu Shir Unanim, you should have a celebration of 8 days to commemorate Hanukkah. We would have all said the same thing. Question number three. Question number four. It's hard to go through a Hanukkah season without mentioning the question of the Beis Yosef. And I'm sure anybody who ever had children in the local day schools knows the question of the Beis Yosef, but it happens to be it's a misnomer, because it is not the question of the Beis Yosef. It is already asked by the Rishonim. Beis Yosef made it more famous, but it is basically the most important question about Hanukkah, and that is, why is Hanukkah celebrated for 8 days if, after all, the miracle really was only seven? And there are tons of answers that are given, and there's a Sefer Ner LeMeir where they have 100 answers on this question. Okay, beautiful. All of them are great. Some of them make sense. Some of them, I'm sure, don't. But there are many, many different ways to go with this question, but the Beis Yosef asks just very fundamentally, how do you understand when they set up the structure of the holiday, 8 days of celebration to commemorate a great miracle? We did not have 8 days of a miracle. We had 7 days of miracle, and the eighth day was natural. The eighth day was when we took the oil that we found and we let it burn in the Beis HaMikdash. That made a lot of sense. Sir Reb Chaim Soloveitchik has a whole interpretation. We spoke about that last year, I think, 2 years ago, for all those who remember, I'm sure. But we're going to focus on something else. Again, four questions. Question number one is, the Gemara says, my Hanukkah. Why do we commemorate Hanukkah? Is it because of the great miracle with the oil, or is it because of the war? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, because of the oil. Why? Number two, if it's really because of the oil, why is the oil hardly mentioned when we talk about Al HaNisim? Why do we only focus on the Milchama? Number three, why does it take such tremendous wisdom? B'nai Bina, why does it take such tremendous insight to understand that Hanukkah is a day that we should celebrate? If after all, this is the logical conclusion that I would have come to, or any of us would have come to, after experiencing such a great and glorious time in Jewish history. And number four, how do we understand the question of the Beis Yosef, which gets to the fundamental of what Hanukkah is all about? Why do we celebrate 8 days if really it should only be seven? And the answer to all of that is as follows. The very famous and legendary words of the Ramban in Parshas Bo, where the Ramban tells us, and I know we've heard it before, but we need to hear it again, every year, many times a year. The Ramban writes, the most critical lesson that all of us need to know, living life every day, says the Ramban, Min ha-nisim ha-gedolim ha-mefursamim. What is the purpose of God doing all of these overt and pronounced miracles? Is this a talent show? God has to show off to the world how powerful he is? Is that really what he needs? The pat on the back that we should all turn around and say, wow, Az Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael, I'm so amazed that you just split the Yamsev. You are amazing. Is that really what God needs? Is that really what our relationship with him is all about? Obviously not. So says the Ramban in Parshas Bo, and it's there in Parshas Bo because that's really where the Torah describes all of Yetzias Mitzrayim and all the Makos, and the Ramban finally gets to the bottom line question, which is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do all of this? What is the point? He had to send Makas Dam and Makas Arbe and Barad and just to wow the whole world? That was the point? He doesn't need to wow us, says the Ramban. The reason is because min anisim hagdolim v'hamufursamim. When somebody experiences something that is so pronounced, like Yetzias Mitzrayim, like Kriyas Yamsev, that is so otherworldly, that is so unusual, so unnatural, it leads and it mobilizes a person on the Moda Benisim Hanistarim. That is the way that we are mobilized to start thinking and reflecting about the unbelievable miracles that we experience every single day of life. Shehem Yisod HaTarakula, that is the bedrock and the foundation of all that our Judaism is about, is to recognize that God is a presence in our lives every single day, every single moment. Anisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. And unfortunately, we go through life and we don't think that way. How could we? How could we? It's impossible to think that way. And every so often, the Ribono Shel Olam has to come, do something fantastic, do something amazing, which will wake everybody up to realize, you know what? It's not just that great miracle, it's everything else. I just mentioned how I spoke to a friend of mine who just finished chemotherapy, and officially he's cancer-free as of now. He should continue to have a refuah. But thank you. And him, v'chol chole Yisrael. I went to the Chai Lifeline dinner last night. I don't know how you don't rip your heart out listening to some of these kids. It was amazing. And thank you for bringing me. But, you know, when we daven for one, we should daven for all of them. And hope that we should always be on the giving end and never have to be the receivers. But my friend was telling me how he finished all of his chemo and now he got his hair back and he feels like a different person and he's so happy. And he said, there are parts of my body that I never knew about, that I never thought about. And all of a sudden, all of them are haywire. And he said, like, you know, it's under control. But he said, I never had a cholesterol problem before. And all of a sudden, my cholesterol is totally out of whack. And all of the other parts of his life that he never even knew existed. I don't know what else there could be. We can ask a doctor, right? You know. But so many side effects and so many things that I'm sure people never even began to appreciate, that they never think about. And it's only when you have a great miracle. Yes, God created a miracle of chemotherapy. It is a great miracle. And it works some of the time. And it helps people. And when you go through that experience and you understand what a great gift that life is, you don't just reflect on the great cure that the chemotherapy has given you. You start to reflect on your every aspect of your life, and it makes you think about why it is that I'm able to breathe healthily every day, and why it is that I have a cholesterol that's somehow in balance when I don't do anything to look after it. And somehow so many things in our lives seem to just be going on their own without my investment, without my having to pay attention. And says the Ramban, that is the purpose of all of the incredible miracles. He says, because min anisim hagdolim hamufursamim, when we go through something that is so pronounced, that is so obvious, Adam Moda Benisim Hanistarim, it puts your whole life in perspective. And it starts to make a person realize what life really is and how blessed we are to have every moment of the lives that we experience. She'ein La'adam Chelek. Listen to this. Writes the Ramban. She'ein La'adam Chelek B'Toras Moshe Rabbeinu. You want to be a Jew who considers him or herself to have some kind of part and connection to everything that Moshe Rabbeinu represents, writes the Ramban. You know how you do that? It is impossible. Ad shenamin b'chol dvareinu u'mikreinu shekulam nisim. You want to consider yourself a part of God's world? You want to consider yourself a part of everything that Moshe Rabbeinu represents and his Torah and his leadership? It is only going to be that way if we reflect on all of the daily miracles that we go through and we experience. Ein bahem teva u'minhega shalolam. There is no such thing as teva. It does not exist. Every moment of life is a gift. Every moment of life is a miracle. And just look at people who are struggling through life and understand what a miracle it is. You ever wonder? I always think about this, just such a mundane thing. Some people have very predictable jobs, right? Some people are doctors and lawyers and nurses and whatever they are. I don't know, politicians. Everybody has their job that they want to do. And sometimes, you know, you sit down next to a person, I always make conversation, and you ask them, you know, you get into a discussion of what is it that they, what is their occupation? And sometimes you get a predictable answer, and sometimes like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I can't believe there's like a job for this. How could it be? Somebody told me the other day he's a meteorologist. I'm like, amazing. You know, like, I don't know how you sit in an office and calculate all this all day, but like, amazing. There's a job for anybody. Do you ever realize like what a miracle that is? There's like millions of jobs in the world that like I would never want to have. And somehow the person who's hired for that job is like really happy to do that every day. And really excited about it. And I would imagine many of you would never want to have the job that I have. And I'm really excited about what I do, as crazy as it is. I love what I do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a miracle into the world. The Gemara says, Afilu Reish Gargishta, I think it's a Gemara in Sota, it says, even the head garbage collector is like proud of the job that he does. And I would say like, he would be vomiting every day. Oh, you have to stand in the back of the garbage truck and smell this all day long. And the answer is like, no. Somehow, the Ribono Shel Olam put into our teva, put into our psyche, that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm paid to do my job, and I come home every night, and I feel successful, and I feel that I've done something that's a contribution to the world, and it's all fine. Everybody al mekamo yavo b'shalom. Like, everybody's fine. That is a miracle. It's a miracle we don't think about, but it's such a mundane part of life that goes unnoticed. Forgetting about all the natural parts of life that just have to go properly. If you ever speak to somebody who had a very difficult childbirth or pregnancy and how many things could go wrong and how many things actually do go wrong by so many people that we know, and then you look about how many people actually recognize that when they go through a pregnancy or childbirth that is healthy and successful. It's amazing. I remember when we had our first child, so I had called Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, his 9th birthday was just this week, and there were a number of members of the shul who pointed it out to me, because I once said in a shir that my son is very proud of his birthday on December 4th because he believes that's why we start saying the Saint Talamutter. So every year on December 4th, when we make the announcements to Saint Talamutter, people email me. I don't need your emails, it's very cute, I got it. Happy birthday to him. But when he was born 9 years ago, so at the time I had mentioned to Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel that we had our first child. And when I was talking to him on the phone, he was the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir Yeshiva. Subsequently, he passed away. And he said, how's your wife feeling? I said, she's great. And he said, how's the baby? I said, everything seems healthy to me. You know, it's amazing. He said, how are you? I said, I'll be honest, I'm very overwhelmed. I don't know about anyone else here, but I don't know what hit me. In fact, during the labor, my wife was fine. And the doctor turns and says, like, are you okay? And she's like, he's actually not okay. Like, take care of him. So I almost fainted there. And I was just so overwhelmed by the whole experience. And I said to Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, I'm like, it's just very overwhelming to think about this. And like, when you take a step back and you're home from the hospital and it's not crazy anymore, and you're just like, what just happened? This is the craziest thing in the world. And he said to me, don't forget, Ezo Chacham Haroas HaNolad. Somebody who in life is always able to think back to that moment of birth is the great Chacham. Somebody who can remember the overwhelming feeling that you have when you have an appreciation for life and all that goes into it, and you're petrified as the baby's, you know, about to be born, like, is everything going to be okay? Are they actually going to have a heart that works? Are they actually going to be able to breathe properly? Are they going to start breathing right away? Are they going to have 10 fingers and 10 toes? And like, I remember when the baby was born, I like started looking right away, like all those things that you have no idea, like, is like, what's the story? And we know people who have been born with ambiguous genitalia, and they don't even know if it's a boy or a girl, and they don't even know what it is. And you have to be so grateful for everything. And you start looking at this child and you recognize how many things have to go right with every childbirth. And he told me, that's the trick of life. Ezu chacham. The person who really lives life in a wise way is somebody who understands throughout life to have that perspective of Haroas HaNolad. Remember that incredibly inspiring moment of birth when you actually put life in perspective and reminded yourself of what a gift all of life is. And says the Ramban, that really is what it's all about. Rav Asher Weiss has told me on so many occasions that there are two ways that the Navi describes the word Nes. The word Nes, number one, Rashi says in Tanakh, means a miracle. Haflava fella, something amazing. It's miraculous. As we know also, the Navi Yeshaya says, V'sa Nes lekabetz galiyosenu. We ask that God to kabe shofar gadol lecheirusenu. We want Him to blow a shofar and bring us all back to have a redemption. V'sa Nes lekabetz galiyosenu. What does it mean? And He should hold a banner, hold a flag, in order to bring us back in. And He's told me on so many occasions, it's not two different interpretations, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Because a miracle that's haflav afela is meant to be an indicator. A flag is an indicator of where I belong, of what I am, of what I stand for, what I represent. This is meant to be an indicator to all of us of what life is. A nace is the indication. Hold up that flag and understand, yes, I had that great moment in life, and that is to reflect on all of my life. That everything else that has happened since then is also a great miracle. And it's all the same. And it's the same God that does it all. And sometimes we have time to recognize it, and most of the times we don't. But the nace is meant to be not just that moment of great inspiration, but visa nace, it is also meant to be the indicator, the flag, that gives us the opportunity to reflect on everything else. So much so that the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, I know I'm talking very quickly, but we're almost out of time. Kala omer halo shalei mechol yom hareze mecharef umegadef. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, a very difficult statement. Anybody who says halo shalei every day, you would say, amazing, right? We have nishmas groups, they say nishmas every day, and they say this every day, and that, amazing, beautiful, right? Tehillim, we're going to split it up. Says the Gemara, if you go out of your way to say, halal shalem b'chol yom, I would say you're an amazing lover of God. But the Gemara says, no, you are heretical. You're an agnostic. Hareze mecharif u'megadev. How do you explain that? Why? What's wrong? Explains the Meshech Chachma, Rameir Simcha Midvinsk writes, what it means is, somebody who focuses on that only. Obviously, if we say Tehillim every day, there's nothing wrong. It's wonderful. You say Nishmas all the time, it's great. However, writes Rameir Simcha, what it means is the following. Every day we have Ashrei Yoshve Veisecha, Tehila LeDavid, the Gemara calls it. And that is all about the day-to-day involvement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in our lives. Somech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim. I wake up in the morning, I don't feel well and I can't walk straight, and somehow it straightens itself out. And I wake up and I have a headache and I don't know what's going to be and I can't think straight, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu figures it out for me. And every single day we have these miracles. Poseach Es Yadecha. I go out to work and I have no idea, am I going to make the deal today? Am I going to be successful? Am I not? And somehow it works out. That is the day-to-day involvement, says the Meshech Chachma. Somebody who chooses to focus only on Halel Shalei Mechol Yom, you say that God's involvement in my life is only in those great, pronounced miracles, those moments of Kriyas Yamsev, those great miraculous experiences, and you think that's where God's involvement is limited to? And you don't understand that God has a part in every single moment of the Ashrei moments of my life, of Somech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim, of Poseach Es Yadecha, of all my parnas, of everything that I have, every success and failure, is all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every moment of life. HaRezeh Mecharuf Megadev, says the Gemara. That's a person who has no perspective of what God is all about. That's somebody who actually is heretical, because you don't believe that God really is involved in every single moment of life, which is all miraculous. So much so that the next line of the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim said, Yehei chelki mi gomri ahalal b'chol yom. I hope that I will be one of those people who finishes halal every day. And what does that mean? Rashi says it doesn't mean he hopes that he'll say halal every day. He said, I hope I have time every day to say the following two verses of Hallelujah. What are they? Hallelujah es Hashem in Hashamayim. We say it every day in Psukei Dezimra. And the last one, Hallelujah kel b'kadsha. Why those two? Because those two describe day-to-day activities. Hallelujah, Hashem and Hashamayim talks about all of the different aspects of creation, all the things that we interact with every day, Eshuvarad, Shelek, Vikitar, we talk about fire and water, and who appreciates the fact that fire actually works, and it's able to cook our soup, and it's able to make our food, and it's able to make us warm or freezing, whatever it is. And this is something that we recognize in that Hallelujah. Says the Gemara, Yehei chelki mi gomrei ahala b'chol yom. I should have the opportunity to recognize God every day and say, Hallelujah, Hashem min ha-shamayim. I just want to look around the world and see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a presence in every aspect of this world. That is the ultimate, says the Ramban. That's what life is all about. That's what the objective is. And therefore, we come back to the question of the Beis Yosef. Why is it that we institute a great day of celebration, not just once, but 8 days in a row? Really, it should only be seven. And the answer is because v'sa-nes. The 7 days of great miraculous commemoration make us realize that the first day itself is also a miracle. The fact that oil is able to burn when we put a candle to it makes no sense. The Gemara has an amazing story in Maseches Tainis. The Gemara says that Reb Chanina ben Dosa once came home and there was nothing in the pantry and his daughter was crying and he didn't know what to do. How are we going to make dinner tonight? We're not going to have food for Shabbos. We don't have anything to use. And he said that we can light candles with chometz. Chometz is vinegar. Who said you need oil? And his daughter's looking at him. Are you crazy? When was the last time you saw vinegar burn? So he goes, no, no problem. He pours vinegar into the cup, puts a little wick in it, and all of a sudden it burns. And his daughter's looking at him. Wow, you make great miracles. How can this be? And he says, why is it any more of a miracle that vinegar can burn, the fact that oil can burn? It doesn't make sense that oil burns either. And he says, Misha Amar L'Shemen V'Yadlik, the same God that decided that the property of oil should be such that it's able to burn, is the same God that will now say that my vinegar is going to burn. It makes no difference. It's all the same miracle. So now you're just seeing something that's an obvious, overt miracle. And over there, you're just noticing something that you take for granted every day, that oil burns. Why should oil burn? Think about it. It doesn't make sense. You ever put water on the fire and wonder why it doesn't burn? Doesn't really make any sense. Says the Gemara, that's what all of life is. The 7 days of commemoration are all just with one objective, and that is to make us remember that the first day itself was also a miracle. And therefore, the Beis Yosef's question is moot. Why do we have 8 days of commemoration? Because that's what Hanukkah is all about, to make us have the understanding that we need to reflect. After experiencing a great miracle, it's time to reflect on everything that we've been through. B'nai Bina, you know why we needed people of great wisdom and intelligence to explain this to us? Because most people would walk away from this experience and say, wow, 7 days of miracles, unbelievable. No, it takes a person of great wisdom and great understanding to say, it's not a 7 day miracle, it's an 8 day miracle. It's every day of life is miraculous. It's every moment of life, and that takes Bina. That takes somebody who really understands, who really reflects, who really thinks about life, and who understands that there is nothing that is a given. That there is nothing that's natural. Ein bahem teva u'minhaga shel olam, says the Ramban, there is no such thing as convention, as norm, as to be expected in life. That's not the way life works. Everything that we have is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided in a miraculous way that this is what it should be. Says the Maharal. When the Maharal talks about Hanukkah, and he has beautiful discussions in his Sefer Ner Mitzvah, when he talks about all the different aspects of Hanukkah, says the Maharal, you have the wrong perspective. And he says there was one miracle that was overt and one miracle that was hidden. The miracle that was overt was Pach Shemen. Everybody saw it. It makes no sense. Kohen Gadol was all excited, walks into the Beis Hamikdash, finds one jug of oil, he's all happy about it, celebrating, and then, oh, what are we going to do? We only have one. And there's a big frenzy in the Jewish community. Everyone's looking around. What are we going to do? Everybody knew about this. This was an open miracle. Everybody watched how 8 days this burned. However, he says, the Nes of the Melchama. Every so often there's a war that takes place and the underdog wins. It happens. And we've all seen it. Every so often there's a government that seems to be very powerful and suddenly there's a coup and the government is gone. And nobody would have expected it and somehow it happens. And it would be very easy for people to walk away from that great victory of war and say, you know, happens every so often. This is the way life goes. It's not always the person who you think is going to win, who you think is going to be victorious. It's not always the way it ends. And therefore, says the Maharal, the only reason why God needed to make the miracle of the Pach Shemen was to open the eyes of the generation and look, turn back and reflect on this war. Don't blame it on the underdog. Don't just say, you know, sometimes it happens. That is an unacceptable response. Understand that was miraculous as well. And the only way to wake up the entire Jewish community was by the Pach Shemen. I'm going to show you a miracle, which all of you will see, which you cannot deny. And the objective of that miracle is going to be to then turn around and see everything else. Turn around and look what's going on in this generation and see how blessed you are. See how many miracles you've experienced and understand that all of it is God. Understand that everything that happened is only because God wanted it to happen. Everybody knows what happened in the Six-Day War and everybody was inspired. And yet, somehow not everybody became religious because of it. How can that be? How can that be? Everybody agreed it was a miracle. Correct? The answer is because there are a million and one different reasons you can give. We have a very strong army with a great intelligence and we figured it out. And yes, of course, it was very unlikely. But in the end of the day, look, we are Tzal. That's the bottom line. So you got to be crazy to think like that. And yes, we have a wonderful army and they have a great intelligence and they had all the strategic plans and maneuvers to figure out what to do. But in the end of the day, if you can't see the hand of God, you're blind. If you can't see the hand of God, you're blind. And God in that generation felt the same way. There are so many people who are going to walk away from that great miracle and say, the underdog somehow won, and it was the great strategy, and it was the great intelligence, and we have a great army, and we figured it out. Chashmonai, one of these genius kids, and they figured out how to win, and they had all kinds of great ideas, and the answer is no. It is all the Pach Shemen was only to make us all think. In our davening, when we highlight what happened on Hanukkah, we don't want to put too much focus on the Pach Shemen, because that's not what it was about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to walk away from Hanukkah and say, Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, there was a war. And there are wars that take place in our generation as well. And there's an Iron Dome that is the greatest miracle of our times today. And you look how hundreds of rockets fall. How many of us wake up in the morning and say, Hodel Hashem Ki Tov, this makes no sense. How is it hundreds of rockets falling on Israeli territory and somehow they don't get there? It doesn't make sense. That's the same. Giborim biyad chalashim, rabim biyad miyatim. We have millions of Arabs who hate us, who hate us more than they love their own children, who want to destroy us, who have every ability to destroy us, and yet we can blame it on, oh yeah, the American government gave millions of dollars for the Iron Dome, and we can explain it this way and that way, and Iran, and somehow we held them off in Saudi Arabia, and somehow we're fighting them here and over there. And the answer is no. The nace of Pach HaShemen was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the same problem that we have in our generation was the problem then. Pach HaShemen was not supposed to happen. The reason why it happened was because God said, if I don't do this, everybody's going to forget and they're not going to be bothered to reflect on what it is that happened there, which is the real objective. And therefore, in our davening, we say, we're going to highlight the melchama. That's the takeaway from Hanukkah. Anisecha shebechol yom imanu, every single day is miraculous. And the only way for us to realize it sometimes is, v'saneis lekabetz galiyosenu, God has to go out in the open and declare to the world, I'm going to show you that I'm involved here. And says the Ramban, it's not a talent show, it's not why God needs it, He doesn't need our appreciation, He needs it in order for us to take a moment to reflect on everything else that goes on every single day, and to realize that the same way this is a miracle, so is that. We close with one insight, and that is Rameir Chadash, one of the mashkichim in the Chevron or Yeshiva, said that you'll notice on Hanukkah and Purim, the halacha is if somebody forgets to say Al HaNisim, the halacha is that Shmona Esrei does not have to be repeated. If you forget Al HaNisim, you don't repeat Shmona Esrei. However, if let's say you're davening any day of the week, any day of the year, and you forget to say Modim, and you forget to say Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, your Shmona Esrei is invalid, and you need to start over. Because what's more important in the day-to-day life is not the Al HaNisim. What's more important is the consistent understanding and recognition that Modim Anachnu Lach every single day, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, that is Ma'akev in the Shmona Esrei. That will hold back a Shmona Esrei from being valid, because without it, we have no recognition and no understanding of how involved God is in every single moment of life. That's what Hanukkah makes us have a chance to think about. Like the Maharal says, I understand that we commemorate by lighting candles, that there was a great miracle, but don't misunderstand. That is not what the objective of Hanukkah is all about. Great things happen every so often. But even greater things happen every moment that we don't notice. And Chanukah is the time to reflect on all of that. Says the Maharal, the only reason for the Pach Shemen was to make all of us think back and understand how lucky we were to have God's involvement in what seemed to be an everyday occurrence, what seemed to be something that happens every so often, not so unusual. And that is the objective of this time of year. That is what we mean when we say Al HaNisim. And once again, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al HaMilchamos, that we have the resolution, that we have the strength, that we have the courage to continue to fight for all that the Jewish people represent, for all that we stand for, and for all that we believe is worth fighting for. Amir Tzashem.